You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making us part of your daily grind. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, thanks for making us part of your routine. We're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Jay King of The Athletic. Some extra thoughts here from the Pelicans game, diving deeper into Robert Williams, the Time Lord's numbers. Interesting, we're going to get back into Jaylen Brown's end-of-half kind of, mistakes and anger from the rest of the team. Little Anthony Davis talk coming up as well. But let's start, Jay, with the Time Lord, who is the only person that Celtics fans want to hear about right now. He is the most popular thing. You write a thing on Robert Williams, and it's like crazy hits. The appetite for Time Lord is very hot right now, very high. And, I mean, he had a pretty decent game. We saw the numbers here. A few of us did the digging a little bit deeper. And when he was guarding Anthony Davis, Davis shot 7 of 17 against him, according to the NBA's tracking data, which isn't always the most reliable, but it's what we have. And
I hate that data. It stinks.
It's not great. It's not great.
I never use it because it's like they'll give a pick and rolls to like the wrong guy. They'll give a lot of stuff that's not a guy's fault. They'll just pin it on him. I hate that stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, it's there. It's readily available. That's kind of like the numbers that are there. And at the very least, it's some indication. I mean, we kind of confirms a little bit of what we saw. So anyway, Davis against Robert Williams. Williams kind of at least made Davis work, which is important. So let's just take it from your perspective, Jay. When you were at the game watching this, what did you see? What did you think?
Well, first, I just want to talk about there's just a buzz about Robert Williams in Boston right
it's
now.
It's unbelievable.
He's the classic backup quarterback that everyone thinks is just awesome. Like he's Michael Bishop. He is that guy.
That's a good reference for people who are old enough to remember it.
Yeah, Michael Bishop was the old Patriots quarterback. He used to throw Hail Marys, right? Like they would bring him in and he would throw Hail Marys. And
right, because he had like a cannon for an arm and he could really run.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything in between.
Yeah, but everyone thought Michael Bishop was like the next one, and he never ended up doing anything. Robert Williams, I think he'll do something, but there's that buzz around him. Like right now, there's so much unknown, and every time he plays, he just does something that's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very few guys in the world can do that. Like nobody blocks Anthony Davis. To block Anthony Davis, and it wasn't like he came over from the weak side and blocked Anthony Davis. He blocked Anthony Davis twice in straight up man-to-man situations where Anthony Davis was trying to shoot over the top of him. That just doesn't happen. And so there was like just a buzz about him. Every time he did something, the crowd went wild. Every time he checked in, the crowd went wild. There were a couple of guys like hollering "Time Lord" from the crowd. It was really a scene. Like, he gets treated better in Boston than Anthony Davis gets treated in New Orleans, which is outrageous.
Yeah, well, New Orleans has some trouble supporting their team, but
but anyway, I just thought Robert Williams, I mean, he was impressive. Like, he's clearly very raw, though.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
He's jumping at rebounds, and nobody really knows what's going on, including him. And he tries to block every single shot. Like, doesn't matter how far away he is. And he gets to a lot of them. Like, the one, even almost more than the two Anthony Davis blocks, the other one he had, I forget which guard it was. Like, there was a ton of separation between them. And he closed the gap, like, just in
it's ridiculous.
A matter of a split second and blocked it away. And I was like, wow.
Well, it's like that block. Did you remember the block that he had that everybody was losing their minds about when he was in Portland, where the guy was on, like, the right – he wasn't even in the paint. He was on about the right block, and Williams was on the left side of the lane, like, outside the restricted circle. He came over and blocked that shot at the top of the apex of the shot. Like, it's ridiculous. He can – there's no gap. He can't close, it feels like.
Yeah, so he's got – like obvious talent as a shot blocker and rim runner, and he's been playing hard. The most important thing I think is that all the veterans seem to really like him, and they all rave about the work he's put in and the attitude he's shown. And that's the most important thing, because those are the questions people had about Robert Williams entering the NBA. Like, there was never a question about his talent. There was never a question that, you know, he was a top 10 type of center production wise. It was just, can he put the work in, and can he be a professional? And everybody raves about him. Like, Marcus Morris cannot stop raving about Robert Williams.
Loves him. Loves
him. And normally if you get Marcus Morris's nod of approval, like, that's a good test. Like, he's
like
going to be,
Godfather. Yeah,
he's going to be honest. You know, he wouldn't call Robert Williams a great teammate and say he has great energy if he didn't. Like, that's just not Marcus Morris. He's never a fraud in that sense. And so I think that's the most important thing with Williams so far. He's still behind a ton of guys, but it's much better to block Anthony Davis twice during your brief stretch of playing time than not blocking Anthony Davis twice.
Yeah, it's that athleticism. Like I said, the fact that he made Anthony Davis work. It's not just the blocks. Like, the blocks, you can say, all right, Davis tried to go up. Williams is super athletic, and he jumped higher than Davis anticipated, and he blocked the shot. That's fine. But beyond that, it's the contesting the shots. It's forcing Davis to take a fadeaway where he falls on his ass sliding off the baseline because he needs to avoid that shot block. That, to me, is more important than the shot block itself, because the shot block stops one possession. The threat of the shot block and contesting those shots now goes for the rest of the game. And whether he actually shot 7 of 17 against Williams or not, I do know just from watching the game that he made Anthony Davis work his ass off. And for a rookie 27th overall pick to make Anthony Davis one of the greatest players we're ever going to watch play basketball, work hard to get offense and not be an automatic scorer every time he touches the ball. That's big to me.
He made Anthony Davis stink.
And, that's it.
By that, I mean, like, he was there contesting enough that he forced Anthony Davis to, like, go into his counters and, like, try different stuff. There was one play, like a reverse layup, that Anthony Davis probably wouldn't have had to bring out against most guys. And he ended up schooling Robert Williams with it. But it was, even that, it was like, okay, he made Anthony Davis go into his bag, because Anthony Davis knows, like, he's not going to just be able to shoot over the top. So it was certainly a promising outing from Robert Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the big thing. Like, it won't be clear. Like, I don't want to be overhyping it. Like, some people, I don't know, I haven't listened to anybody else, but maybe some people be a little too excited. I think this is just a great sign. It's he went out there in a situation against the Pelicans, against Anthony Davis, and he was a plus player. He was a net positive on the floor for the Celtics. He didn't hurt the Celtics. Like we said about the defense there, he also, on the offensive side, he was setting screens. He wasn't holding on to the ball too much. If he didn't have something, he just gave it up, and he made a couple of nice passes. He had a few screen assists, so he was getting guys open for their shots. I think just overall a net positive, which is great for a guy in this situation. And there's no rush. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he's got to play more. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He's there if you need him. If a guy like Daniel Tice is not effective, and he wasn't, he struggled a little bit more against Anthony Davis, no shock. But Williams is there if you need him. And Daniel Tice is a better basketball player than Robert Williams. Williams is more talented and more athletically gifted, but Tice is a better basketball player, smarter, and can do more things, more polished. He's just got a lot more experience. So Tice is going to be ahead of him in the rotation, but it's really what you're looking at here is Williams is a hell of a grab for the 27th pick, and the Celtics are getting lucky. They said going into the draft, some people said all he needed was some structure, and he's getting that perfect structure in Boston.
I don't know about all that, but
he's not.
No, I just don't know. I don't want to give the Celtics credit for what Robert Williams has done. That doesn't make sense to me. Like all he needs is structure. No, all he needed was to work hard, and he's been doing that, and it's on him. He's been doing a great job.
Well, the whole knock was that
the culture helps him, but I want to give him credit for putting the work in the way he has and impressing everybody.
Of course, but there also he had the reputation wasn't just made up. That was real, right? That was real. So that's what they were saying after, you know, all of the things that created this reputation. There are people saying all he needs is some structure and he will thrive. It's not one person or the team or getting credit for it. It's everybody getting credit that the Celtics have put in place a structure in which Robert Williams can thrive. Robert Williams gets the credit for going out there and working hard within that structure. It's a team effort. When something like this, bring a rookie along, especially a rookie with his history, it's a team effort. So I want to give everybody credit. Of course he gets the credit for doing the work, but he's not going in there on his own, just working on his own. It's everybody putting in the work to, you know, that saying, it takes a village. Like, this is the village helping raise Robert Williams into what we hope is going to be a high-level basketball player for a long time.
Also, shout out to him for the quote of the night by far when he said that his daughter looks just like him and he's not sure if that's a good thing.
I really like him. Like, I just think he's the real mature part about what he, I think, said. Like, that was funny. That was a real funny quote. I really love that when he was asked about, you know, Anthony Davis was basically your hero, your basketball hero growing up. Like, you idolized him. And now you're facing him. What's that like? And he's just like, it's just another opponent. Tonight he's an opponent, and I got to go out there and play defense. And afterwards, when he was asked about the block, he's like, it's just the block. I just blocked the shot. Like, that's it. He's very, very focused on the task at hand, which is, I think, mature.
He was faking that.
That was like a professional sign where he was like,
I'm going to be professional tonight.
Of course, but that's the sign of mature. He's like mature enough to be like, hey, this is it. I'm sure he probably went home and he's like, oh my God, I blocked Anthony Davis twice. Like, yeah, of course. Like, it makes total sense, but
I wasn't buying that.
But he was mature enough to hold that character throughout the whole thing. Like, he did a nice job with the media. Another sign of maturity.
Shouts to Robert
Williams, the Time Lord. All right, that's our Time Lord conversation. We're going to be right back with a conversation about Jaylen Brown and really an interesting, and I don't know if it goes beyond this, but that interesting end to the first half where everybody was pissed off at Jaylen Brown. We're going to talk about that. Before we talk about that, I want to implore all of you small business owners, if you are looking for advertisers, this is the podcast to advertise on. If you're in Boston, or if you're looking for Boston Celtics fans, if you're looking for 98% male audience, we're the place to advertise. Email us, LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com, LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. Podcast listeners are much more likely to interact with businesses that they hear on their podcast. Podcast listeners are also more affluent. They are also more educated. It's a great group of listeners to target. All podcast listeners have that education, have that extra disposable income. Our audience, again, 98% men, if that's who you're trying to target, LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com to sponsor this podcast. So Jay, after the game, everybody's like loving Jaylen Brown because he had that awesome fourth quarter. But at the end of the first half, he made a couple of mistakes that really, really pissed off a couple of guys you probably don't want to piss off on the Celtics. He had a possession where the clock ran down to about 2 seconds or less, and he tried to pass shot clock, tried to pass it to Marcus Morris, was off target, shot clock violation. And then at the end of the first half, the next possession, Terry Rozier was waving him, just get out, get out, get out. He was not in the right place, and that possession went nowhere. I don't even think they got a shot off. And Marcus Smart demonstratively was on him as they walked off the court. So,
and Terry Rozier like chucked the ball off the backboard.
Yes.
Like that was, that
everybody was pissed.
Yeah, that was as animated I've seen the Celtics get, I think, after like a teammate's mistake. Like I've seen, especially I think Baines and Kyrie kind of have a funny little thing going between them. Like if they screw up, they'll like scream at each other, and that's just how they are. And they'll let each other know, and then it's like nothing happened. But I don't think I've seen guys like that. Like Brad was heated. Rozier, like he threw the ball off the backboard, like threw a fireball off the backboard. And then Marcus Smart was in Jalen's ear as they walked into the locker room. It wasn't like, I don't think it was a big thing to note. I don't think it was a big thing to consider, but it was just weird to me. Like they were up 10, and I get being upset about failing to execute a couple plays in the final minute of the half. Like it was a very, very bad end to the second quarter, but it just felt like overreactions from the Celtics. And it was just pretty amusing, I thought, to me, just sitting there watching. But they were all very, very obviously aggregated with Jaylen Brown.
Well, you got to wonder why, what causes that level of aggravation. It's not that somebody makes a mistake. When players make a mistake, there's some conversation. Even if they're upset, there's you're supposed to be here and there's a conversation. This went beyond that. So this has got to be something else, like something bigger, like you're constantly making mistakes, or why are you not paying attention, or something. Something there just sparked everybody was pissed. So if everybody was that pissed and so obvious, then there's something behind it. Now, at the end of the day, it may not mean much as far as carryover. It's not like they're all pissed off at Jaylen this morning. And I'm sure everybody's kind of worked through it and they talked through it. But at the same time, that level, just think about yourself. You don't get that angry. Well,
yeah,
you
do
because you pop off. You're very easy to pop off. But people with normal emotional states would not get that angry so quickly. There's got to be something that spurs that along.
I don't know. They're playing basketball at the highest level, and obviously, like they were over the top. But if someone totally botches a play that you've called for the final possession of a quarter, like that's really frustrating. And so I get it. I don't think it has to mean anything more than just being mad at Jaylen Brown for a couple mistakes. But it really was interesting because I can't remember that much, like at the same time, sort of hostility over a single mistake. Like that was they were very, very upset.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something, I don't want to say there's something there. I'm not trying to make this bigger than it really is. I want to be clear. I don't think this lingers. I don't think this is something where Jaylen Brown is somehow being separated from his teammates and he's being targeted. It's none of that. None of that. I don't think there's any team chemistry issues being harmed here. I think they're pissed off because he either made a stupid mistake or he made a repeated mistake. And I think that's where frustration really, really comes in. Maybe they just told him something and he wasn't there. And look, Jaylen Brown continues to have those stretches. I was watching the game where I was like, he's not there. He's not physically present in this moment. He does not appear to be kind of in this game. And he had, I don't know why. I think he had some shots that didn't fall early, and maybe when the shots don't fall early, that triggers something. But that fifth foul was stupid. It was a very stupid fifth foul, a reach in on Julius Randle, who was driving. He barely wasn't even slapping at the ball. It was just a reach-in foul, and he knew it. He walked off the court with his hands on his head like he knew it. So it's almost like he was as pissed at himself as everyone else was pissed at him. I don't know what clicked in that fourth quarter to get him to come out and just go completely off and really separate the game and end the game when he came back in. But up until that point, something was in his head that he's thinking too much or whatever. He just didn't feel like he was present in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the fifth foul, like, what were they up, 15? Like, now you're overreacting as much as the Celtics did, man.
But it was a stupid foul. Like, and it was the third quarter. It was, they could be up 15, Jay, but you know 15 points doesn't mean shit. At 15 points in the third quarter, you come out, you hit three threes, the next thing you know, you're right back in this thing. It's a single-digit game. So
yeah, it was definitely a bad foul. I will certainly agree with you there. But yeah, I'm just not ready to, like, jump all over the guy.
I think it should be treated appropriately, but it's just more, I think, evidence that sometimes Jaylen Brown gets into his own head. And I think that's kind of the root of this. Sometimes Jaylen Brown gets into his own head, and he kind of has possessions where he just checks out.
I appreciate how this has gone from, I don't want to make a big deal of this, it's not going to linger, to sometimes Jaylen Brown's in his own head, and this is another symptom of it. I like how you've done this. You've evolved here.
That's not a secret. We've been talking about Jaylen Brown getting into his own head for the entire season. Like, that's not something new. Like, what I'm saying isn't going to linger is the anger between the Celtics and him. I think Jaylen Brown getting into his own head is possible. That's going to happen again. CJ, if you just pay attention to what I'm saying, you understand the nuance of my arguments.
I do. God damn it,
Jay! What the hell, man? Pay attention, you son of a...
I'm levels ahead. I'm levels ahead.
Okay, we're going to take another short break. Come back, talk a little bit about Anthony Davis, the guy that the Celtics fans were cheering for when he touched the ball, who wasn't wearing a black jersey.
The most laid-back 41 points.
Unbelievable. We'll talk about that in a minute when we come back. But first, the Locked On NFL podcast and Locked On NFL Network has podcasts for every one of your teams, just like the NBA. So if you're a Patriots fan like we are, go ahead and search for Locked On Patriots. Do a great job trying to figure out what the hell happened in that Miami game. That's been going on all week. And if you are a fan of other teams, maybe you're a Dolphins fan and you want to celebrate the fact that you surprised the hell out of the Patriots on that last second crazy play, go search for Locked On Dolphins. There's a Locked On NFL podcast, just like there's one for Locked On NBA podcast. So go search for that wherever you found us. It's everywhere. So Anthony Davis, I looked up when we're sitting next to Sam Packard at the game. He goes, man, I didn't realize he had 40. I said, he has what? It was really the quietest 40-point game I've seen. I never felt like Anthony Davis was in takeover mode. He just consistently scoring, and nobody else was scoring. So it was kind of wild to see, but it was really fun when he got introduced that all the Celtics fans just started cheering for him. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, they're good at that. And obviously, like, he said he heard it afterward. He knows at this point, like, it's hard to see him staying in New Orleans, right?
I don't expect him to finish his career there.
I know there's a money thing, but, like, that team wasn't just – they didn't just get beat by the Celtics without three All-Stars. Like, they clearly had less talent than the Celtics, even though the Celtics were without their three max contract guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Celtics just played out of their ass. Like, they played a good game, but they were – the more talented team, even though they were missing Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward.
No one on the Celtics, aside from Marcus Morris, who was spectacular, but no one had, like, it wasn't like a Terry Rozier 35-point game. You know, Morris scored more than usual, but it wasn't like, yeah, like you said, playing out of their ass. They just, the Celtics came out and took a lead, and they just held the lead throughout the whole thing. So, yeah, it's weird because Drew Holiday is a good, really good basketball
player. Drew Holiday's really damn good. He's when you have no wings, like, they just don't have wings.
Yeah. Playing alongside Tim Frazier and Solomon Hill, it's not going to exactly go well for you.
And Mirotić, like, offensively, he can really help you. He's a spacer, all that. But he was getting roasted. Celtics, they were going after him with Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, when you're getting hunted by Semi Ojeleye, that's like the last guy the Celtics would ever use to hunt anyone. And he was having a lot of success. He's a different dude now, by the way. Semi
Ojeleye, yeah, he's playing.
Semi is far more decisive with the drive, and he's using the body of Zeus to to get by guys and create contact. Like, he never tried to do that last year. He was a spot up shooter who didn't make a ton of spot up shots, and now he's finding ways to use his strength and burst, and he's really, like, he's added layers to his game.
Yeah, and we saw him in Summer League working on that stuff. That was a stated focus in Summer League. And even some games where he didn't, maybe it didn't go well, you could see that that's what he was trying to work on. And it's good to see the stuff that he was working on over the summer starting to pay off. It also helps when Nikola Mirotić is in front of you and making it look like you're freaking, you know, Jordan going past people on the perimeter. I mean, at this point, you or I could get past Nikola Mirotić on the perimeter. So that's...
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I mean, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about getting past him. I mean, he might be the only guy. He might be the only guy, but I can get past them. A little head and shoulder. A little inside out dribble. I can get past them. I would attack it. I would hunt it. If I saw him in front of me, I would go. I'd go over the rim. I'm not working the ball around. I'm going to the rim.
Good luck, man.
Driving kick.
I'm rooting for you.
I got this. So Anthony Davis heard the cheers, all that stuff. I don't see it ending well for the Pelicans with
Anthony. He's got to leave. He has to. He has to. They stink. Their environment in New Orleans is a joke. That he hasn't been given nearly the spotlight that he should for how good he is in the NBA.
Yep.
And I don't know if he'll end up in Boston, but he should not want to continue his career in New Orleans.
I would not expect him to. So he's got one more year left. Next year, he's still under contract. Technically still under contract the following year, but that's a player option that's guaranteed to be turned down. So
what would they have to do to even convince him? Like, at this point, he's got to be one foot out the door. There's nothing they can do.
The only thing they could do is somehow get another star to help him out and make it seem like he's going to have a chance to win there.
What if they finish out of the playoffs and win the lottery?
Then
trade the number one pick for a star. That would be wild.
If they get the number one pick and don't take Zion Williamson with the intent of developing Zion Williamson as their guy alongside Anthony, can you imagine him playing alongside Anthony Davis?
But he won't be ready for years. And by then, Anthony Davis will be, what, 29, 30? Like, ready to really compete. He'll be fun. He'll be good, but he won't be, like, championship level.
I tell you what.
He's not going to help Anthony Davis right away.
This is the way they should do it.
We've gone off the rails, by the way.
Totally, but hey, it's our
podcast. We are now envisioning what happens if the Pelicans get the number one seed or the number one pick.
If they get the number one pick or a top five pick and they get a potential franchise changing type of guy, then you just trade Anthony Davis and go big. Just go into it full bore and rebuild. And they should trade him to a place like Boston. If you get the number one overall pick, and then you could turn around and Boston would absolutely give you their next three picks, the Sacramento pick, the Memphis pick, the Clippers pick,
all of Danny Ainge's children.
Sure. Of course. They're grown. They can adjust. That's something that the Pelicans should absolutely consider. You get four, restock your team, instant rebuild. You don't have to do it over the span of 2, 3, 4 years. You just get, especially if that Kings pick ends up being top five, then you get two picks in the top five. You get two Duke teammates. Then you really start going big. At least then you can sell your fan base on, okay, Anthony Davis, he's gone, but look at all this exciting young talent. We're starting over. Hit the reset button. Problem is, the Pelicans fans, there are a few diehard Pelicans fans. There's no casual Pelicans fan. There's just the people who go are the people who love basketball and love that team. There's nobody who just says, oh, let's go to a Pels game tonight. It's just, it's nothing. And not only will Anthony Davis leave New Orleans, I wonder if the Pelicans are probably going to leave New Orleans at some point. That's down the road.
Ooh, we've really got off the rails.
Yep, I've already relocated them. You know, welcome to Seattle, the Seattle Pelicans.
Oh, boy. This turned into a wild podcast.
It really did. It really did. Yeah. I think we're going to end it on that high note and just say thanks to everybody.
Shouts to us, yeah.
Yeah, you know, pull one out of our asses again. Thanks, everybody. If you're a first-time listener, man, we really do appreciate the fact that you have tuned in. That's really great of you to sample. We hope that this sample has turned into something you want to consume on a regular basis and you subscribe. The regular subscribers out there, you know what I'm asking you for. 5-star rating, good written review, and sharing the podcast when people ask what they should be listening to. It's the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.